This is the Business of Apps podcast, bringing you actionable insights from the leaders of the global app industry and the world's fastest growing apps. You can find more app news, data and analysis over at businessofapps.com.
Welcome to the Business of Apps podcast. On this show, we invite app industry professionals to cover various topics, and we promise to do our best to keep it both insightful but brief. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast platforms where you can find us, I strongly encourage you to do that. Once you subscribe, you will be getting the episodes of this show on your device as soon as it's available. In this episode, we have Inna Sumovska, Senior User Acquisition Manager at Hylee. Inna, welcome to the Business of Apps podcast.
Hi. Super happy to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is great. Thank you for coming. Okay, it's 2024, and we're all supposed to talk about generative AI 24/7. But remember what was the center of attention for so many app marketers before that, before the ChatGPT arrival, right? TikTok and marketing your apps on TikTok. For many folks, it's still the center of their attention. While the platform, despite a number of looming threats to be banned, most notably in the US, is there and thriving. Today, I have Inna to share her best practice for doing app marketing on TikTok. But before doing that, Inna, to kick off, tell us about yourself. Tell us your background.
Yeah, sure. I'm Inna Sumovska. Have been working in the performance marketing field since 2018, so almost for 6 years. For the last 3 years, I'm working with TikTok solutions. If be more specific, I know how to promote apps on TikTok. I started as a user acquisition manager for the dating app called Tami. And I launched campaign for this app on TikTok, scale campaigns on TikTok. And later I switched to network side, which means that I started work as a client solutions manager for TikTok in Berlin office. I assisted app clients to run campaigns on TikTok, analyze campaign scale. And I learned a lot from my clients, but this September I returned back to client user acquisition side. So currently I am senior user acquisition manager for the dating app called Hylee. Actually, this September I returned to the same company that I had been working before I joined TikTok. And I like to joke that that was the plan, to go to TikTok to figure out all the secrets about optimization and algorithm, and then return back to the company to implement all this. But actually it just like a joke, it was like a coincidence. In a nutshell, that's it. Currently I'm also responsible for this channel. So I'm running scaling campaigns on TikTok. We did a really great job during Q5, just for one day, but still, we was on the first stage. The number of downloads in North America within dating niche. And this is a nice achievement as well, because, you know, there are like a lot of well-known brands there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got your degree in TikTok and got back to use that knowledge. Oh, this is great. So tell us about Hylee, and how's it different from other dating apps? Because we all know Tinder, it became kind of a verb, you know, Google, Xerox, Tinder is, it's almost like synonym for dating. So how Hylee is different from other dating apps?
Yeah, good one. Okay, I would mention 3 points. The first is, like, we believe at Hylee that dating should be fun but not stressful or frustrating. That's why we focus on conversation between singles and give them different kind of tool for meaningful interactions. For example, we do have like icebreakers. This is like a personalized messages that help you to start a conversation or maintain the conversation on our dating app. The second is safety. We do have this feature when you can call person, not like sharing your personal mobile numbers or personal pages on Instagram or other social media, because safety for us is really, really important. And then, of course, we use AI to learn more about your preferences, values, priorities, interests to focus and to we do have like a compatibility quiz to show you the percentage of your love or friends compatibility with someone. But by the end of the day, I would say you always need to have some other options, right? I heard a lot from my friends who use dating apps that even though they try like Tinder, Bumble, or some other dating apps, from time to time they are open for some new options. And they say, okay, I just want to give a chance for something new. Let's see how it works for me. I say that my friends told me this because I never use dating for myself, just because I'm joking that I'm too senior, because in my time people met in person. I met my husband 9 years ago, I guess, yeah, in the CrossFit box. So even though I know how to promote dating apps, I never use it for myself. But to get this insight from time to time when I hang out with my friends, I can say, okay, give me your phone. I want to make some like matches for you. And you know, I'm really good at this. So that's why I'm joking. Okay, if you need some cool matches, just give me your phone and I will do it for you. And yeah, but I heard about a really nice feature that Tinder launched, I believe, a couple of months ago. This is like a super cool because even though you don't need, for example, dating for yourself, you can use this app to find out some interesting matches for your friends. And then you can send the link to your friend, and he or she has like 24 hours to get in touch with this person. And this is really nice because in this case, they really extend their audience. Because come on, we all know about Tinder. So in this case, they really extend it. And this is really, really cool. I never tried for my friends, but yeah, I heard a lot. I believe last year, end of last year, they ran this kind of campaigns about this feature.
Yeah, that's an interesting move on their part. This is one of the things that big brands do when they need to grow even bigger, because there's always this kind of a plateau, the threshold where
Yeah.
they've reached like there's a this big period of growth, but then inevitably you have to deal with this situation where the previous tricks, previous tools do not work as efficient as it used to, so you try new things, and this kind of a, I don't want to say a referral, but yeah, it's kind of a referral thing you're suggesting
Okay.
to somebody. So yeah, it's a, that's a nice trick. And you've mentioned that you guys are using AI for your app, for your platform, and I wonder one day generative AI chatbots will be dating on apps themselves. Once they become conscious, we're not there yet, but once they will, it will be there. They will need apps to date each other. Okay, but jokes aside, one of the things that is essential for marketing is having a framework. Any marketing campaign is rather a marathon than a sprint. So you don't, if you don't have a framework, a plan to stick to, you won't go anywhere. You need to have the basis, the procedure of things to do on a weekly basis. You do certain actions, you measure the result, you assess, okay, what do I see? How do I adjust my my actions on a daily basis? So what is your framework to work with TikTok as a marketing channel, perhaps?
Yeah, a good one. So I would say, first of all, before I start to answer the question, you need to understand that there is still a difference between TikTok and other social media, because TikTok is not like a regular social media. You don't go to TikTok to check TikTok. You go to TikTok to have fun, to entertain, to educate yourself. So that's why TikTok, this is like the world leading entertainment platform for short videos. and this is all about the community. So that's why to be the part of this community is to collaborate with those guys, with the creators. So that's why the first main point to succeed on TikTok, you need to be part of this community and you need to collaborate with creators. The second one, speaking about like paid promotion, because today I will be speaking more about specifically paid promotion, you need to use the smart setup for your creative testing, because creators, they create for you videos, but then you need to have a really smart setup for your creative testing to understand how it's better, what kind of optimization to use. And then the third one, and it's a super and really important, to analyze creatives deeply, because content is the key, and this is not like the news for us, but you need to understand a lot of tiny details can impact the results, impact the core of the audience. So that's why, yeah, if to sum up, if you want to succeed on TikTok, collaborate with creators, use the smart setup for your creative testing, and analyze creative deeply. What I mean, for example, about use smart setup for creative testing. In my case, even though I run the main performance with purchase optimization, I do test with install optimization simply because I run SCAD, and in this case, I don't need to meet privacy threshold. I can use lower budget to understand my top performance. And I have specific benchmarks for CPM, CPC, CTR, conversion rate. So I also analyze like upper funnel events as well to figure out my top performance. And I also have these kind of benchmarks. For example, 10K is enough for me. I mean, 10K impressions is enough for me to understand if this specific piece of content has potential or not. So there is something that I want to dive deeper to give you more understanding of what I mean at smart setup for creative testing. So yeah, creators, creative testing, and analyze your creatives.
Gotcha. So you mentioned creators or influencers. TikTok, just like YouTube, Instagram, have a vibrant community of those folks. People who have big followership, folks who trust them, trust their opinion, listen to what they have to say, what they have to suggest, and hence how the whole influencer marketing does work is the system to market anything, including mobile apps. So tell me about your experience of working with creators, with these guys who are helping to propel specific app to the audience and connect. Any more memorable moment from that experience? And did you, like, I know that some folks, some app marketers strictly are running ads on TikTok ads as a platform. Some people do influencer marketing campaigns with creators. And some people kind of are combining both. So they start with working with the influencers and then using the same content with the consent of those influencers for TikTok ads. So what was your experience? Did you use both or one of those, and any memorable moment from that experience?
Yeah, sure. But before I start to answer, I just want
absolutely
to give you like this explanation from my point of view. There are still a difference when it comes to influencers and creators, because influencers, they like influence, and creators, they create. So, and this is actually a difference, because when we started work with creators on TikTok, we wanted to adjust our experience working with influencers, for example, from Instagram. And we were focusing on, for example, on those guys who have like some number of followers or something like this. But then we understood that TikTok, it's like, it's not really matter how many followers you have, since your content is entertainment. So that's why we were thinking maybe like the number of followers is not really important. Maybe we need to focus on those guys who can create something that our audience will pay their attention to. And this is something like this is super easy, right? But we understood that this only like when we start working with them and when we did a couple of mistakes. And one of the mistake was that we were super focused on number of followers, and we were was super focused on the script that we had, because we saw that we know what they should say and how they should say and how what call to action to use and blah blah blah. And then we understood maybe because TikTok is all about creativity, we can give them more freedom. And when we did, we succeed. So of course we gave them like some information about the app, about our USP. Of course we collaborate with those guys who were like a part of dating community. But then they started to use super nice insights that we couldn't even imagine of. And that was like a super great achievement for us. So now I would say 90% of all our content created by creators on TikTok. And we do in different, we can use different options. For example, we can use Spark ads when creators posted the specific post on their site. In this case, this ads looks not so commercial, more native, but I also run it from like TikTok Ads Manager on Top Feed, and it also, so we use both. I would say the main idea here, the insights, the charisma, and the trend that they used within the specific videos. And yeah, I guess this is the super great insight that we got. And I know that some of advertisers can say, okay, but we don't have this resource to work with creators. We don't have resource to find them, to communicate them, to manage them. And TikTok knows that. So that's why TikTok gives you 100, not 100, but a lot of different options. For example, they do have this TikTok Creative Marketplace. This is the platform, official platform from TikTok, where you can find creators, communicate there, and launch their campaigns right inside this platform. The other thing that they can give you, if, for example, you have the TikTok support from the platform, they do different kind of creative program, for example, TikTok Creative Challenge. Again, you just need to create a brief, give some information about your product, and then I believe we got like hundreds of video per weeks from different creators. And this is like super nice. I mean, the platform knows about this bottleneck, and they do their best to help advertisers to deal with this. So my suggestion would be, yeah. And as I mentioned, 90% of all videos, yeah, we create with the guys who are the part of community on TikTok.
Yeah, so thank you for this clarification and difference, pointing out the difference between influencers and creators, because I remember the moment when that wasn't that of a distinguishing between these two notions, but it is crystal clear by now that with influencer, you're not expecting that person to create something specific for you for your needs. Creator, basically kind of like a freelancer, so to speak, for you, somebody who's working outside of your company. He's not a freelancer, like in a scientific meaning of the word, but he's the talented person who knows what does work for his or her audience, and he can actually do that for you. He's creating content for you. And then I see why TikTok is that different from other platforms, not only because of the nature of the platform that, as you say, it doesn't focus, it doesn't stress on the number of followers. It actually kind of a sidestepped aside the most important thing, how engaging the content is.
Yeah.
So hence you're not hunting down folks who have millions and millions of followers. You can work with guys who are really talented to create something great for your app. You stick with these guys or girls, and this is how you succeed. And from what you're saying, it looks like TikTok has kind of a built-in influencer marketing platform inside the platform. Usually, like in the case of Instagram or YouTube, you would have to go to the influencer marketing platform, open an account, look for influencers, run the campaign through that platform. But on a TikTok, you don't have to go anywhere. You just go to the platform because it's built in. You're using the internal tool to reach out to those folks, work with them, and they manage all the workflow for your for you.
Yeah. So that's why, this is a super smart, and this is like, of course, we understand why they do this, because they want us as advertisers to invest our money on their platform. But yeah, but this is like a super great tool, and 100% we should and we use it. And I also want to add to my previous answer that we didn't get the confirmation of the hypothesis that creators with more followers perform better when it comes to paid ads. So 100%. Like, work with like micro creators. And if they know and they know what works on TikTok, you will succeed with them as well.
Got it. Okay, let's move on. In a nutshell, any marketing is about four W's: what, to whom, where, and when. I don't claim the copyright for this term. I think I heard it many years ago somewhere. So what can you tell me about to whom part, the targeting on TikTok ads? How does it work? What filters do you have? Is it on par or better than the Meta ads have?
I want to say that TikTok is getting older. So every year, the number of mature audience increased. That's why it's not like a kid platform anymore. And when I worked at TikTok, I had like a dating client whose audience was like a quite mature. For one brand, it was 45, and for other, it was 55, and then and they succeed on TikTok, also because the number of brands that are focused on this core on the audience is not really great. So to sum up, I would say that you can reach any kind of audience. Of course, it also depends on the niche, but if of your app, of your product, but if we speak about like beauty or e-com or fitness or lifestyle, 100% you can reach your core of the audience on TikTok. TikTok has a couple of restrictions, and it also matches with their main like goal and idea. For example, you can't promote any kind of political stuff on TikTok because they really pay attention to your experience on the platform, and they want you to be happy and joyful and don't want to overwhelm you with this kind of information. Our core of the audience, since we are dating, is 22 till 35. But again, I use broad audience, even though the system gives you the same. You can use lookalike, you can use a different kind of interest, behavior. Still, broad audience work better for me, simply because by your content, by your videos, you can impact the specific core of your audience you want to reach. So no need to limit yourself. Just my suggestion would be to pay great attention on the piece of the content and understand, okay, with this specific video, we want to reach this specific audience. What I mean is the age of the model, the age of the guy who is speaking on the video can impact the core of the audience that I reach. For example, if there is like a guy 20 years old. So then the core of the audience that I will reach within the female audience will be like in their 20s. So that's why I would say, of course, you can and you need test and understand what works better for you. But at the end of the day, what I saw from my clients and what I see within the industry, broad audience is the king. But you need to pay super great attention quality of your videos. You also always can use, because TikTok also have this kind of tool that called Audience Insight, where you can get some insights about audience, for example, number of users within specific geos, users within different age, genders, numbers of users that use app on Android and iOS. So this kind of insight you can get, but then use broad and yeah, pay more resource on the quality of your videos.
Got it. So this is very interesting observation about the factoring in or factoring out interests when you're narrowing down your campaign on TikTok. Because originally I mentioned the Meta or Facebook ads. The idea of having interests as the filter for your campaign initially looked great, and looked like this is the way you can really narrow down your campaign and address and talk directly to the audience you're looking for. But if you think about it really hard, you would understand that in many cases, those data points that show you what interests people have actually do not represent their real interests. They could like a page or something, years ago. And that data point is still sitting there showing that that person allegedly does have an interest in a specific topic, but that's not true anymore. And if you're trying to rely on those data points, thinking that you're, oh gosh, I'm going to be narrowing down my campaign really nicely using all those interests, you will be just deceiving yourself because it's not going to work. You will be believing that you're narrowing down your campaign as it should be. You're not talking to a wrong person, but in reality, it's not going to work. So, if you're just putting it aside and just like you're saying, sticking to the demographics, device, operating system of a phone you're running your campaign for, that would be meaningful filters because that would be objectively true interests. They're nice, but they may or may not work. They would be just kind of a unpredictable variable in your equation. So that's smart. So you go broad and you have a better chance to succeed.
Yeah, but I also want to add, it's also because how algorithm and optimization work on TikTok, because when it comes to TikTok, it's all about videos, right? But not like some images. So that's why the system can understand your preference more quicker. I remember when I just started work with TikTok, what I did, I just opened the app and I was just, okay, so I just want to understand for how many minutes or hours they will get
Right.
my preferences. And you know what? In 10 minutes, at first they show me some like celebrities or something like this, and they go deeper and deeper. And in 10
I think
minutes, they
so.
got my three preferences: CrossFit, stand up, and dogs. And come on, this was like my first touch with the app, and in 10 minutes, and this is crazy. So this is also like
Right.
a really nice point that I want to flag when we speak about TikTok. You can get quicker results using this platform simply because the algorithm and optimization work in this quicker way, I would say.
Okay, gotcha. Finally, let's zero in. Let's focus on creatives. I would say it's both art and science. Art because you have to brainstorm, try different ideas, see which ones do work, which ones do not. And obviously, science because you have to measure your ad campaigns and see how those great ad creatives perform. Not relying on your assumption, but measuring, okay, which one of those do engage and do not engage with the audience. So, what are your approach to work with creatives?
Yeah, I already mentioned that you always need to analyze to get some details about the videos. For example, you can use the tool that called Video Insights and get some answers there. But I want to give you an example because when I worked for Tame.me, this is a dating app for LGBTQ plus, and I remember when I started running campaigns. I was thinking that, okay, I don't have this option to some kind add the preferences, right? So I run the broad, And I understood that within my videos, I need to somehow reach the core. So what I did, I started dive deeper into the comment that the users added in my ads. And I saw that there was like a number of comments that this is not like something for me, why I watch these ads and blah, blah, blah. And then I understood that, okay, we need to change something. And for the first 3 seconds, we need to give the to users a hint that this is specifically for this community, just not to waste their time from one hand and from the other to reach specific core of our audience. And we came up with a very, it's super easy and simple idea. But what we start doing, we asked our creators to call our audience from the very beginning. So they were like, are you a girl looking for a girl? Or are you a part of the LGBTQ plus? If not, keep scrolling. And this is was like, this script works so great for us that in 6 months, my TikTok support team came to me to share some trends. And one of the trends was this specific script. And our competitors started using this. And I was just, oh my gosh, but we created this. And there was also like, okay, we part of this community as well because we just create trends as well. So answering your questions, dive deep into analysis. For example, I also see a great correlation between the sound that I use and how this sound impacts the cost per action. For example, if this is a trendy sound and a lot of users use it in North America, in my case, this helped me to decrease cost per action. Once this is not really popular, cost per action goes up. So, I mean, you need to get these specific details and then know how you can use it, adjust and scale in future. So I would say you as a user acquisition manager, your main job to run creative testing and have this smart setup. And from the other hand, dive deeper into creative analysis to understand what works better for you, why, and what you can scale.
Okay, got you. So with this question, we're wrapping up the first part of the show. And because you're new on the show, here comes the second part where I ask a few questions to every new guest so our listeners have a chance to know them a little bit better. These are just quick questions. So here we go. What smartphone do you have now? Are you one of those folks who are sticking to one side of the equation, either Android or iOS, or switching back and forth?
Okay, I use iPhone 15 Pro. I did once, I used Android for 1 year and a half. But yeah, I mean, definitely I am. And I, as person, I don't know, I just used to it. And I don't think that I'm gonna switch to another side again.
All right, let's jump back a little bit and back in time. Before the first smartphone, those first mobile phones, which we could put in our pockets, do you remember from that era which phone you did you have back then?
Yeah, I do. And it was Alcatel. And I remember that the color was really nice. It was light green, really, really beautiful. But I guess, yeah, this is the only thing that I really like about it, and that's all.
All right, so this, I think, is the first mention of Alcatel on the show because people traditionally recall Nokia, the snake. They used to play the battery that lasted ages. For today's standards, back then we were still complaining, but today we would be so delighted when you don't have to recharge your phone every night.
Yeah.
All right, imagine you left your iPhone 14 Pro at home for whatever reason, you're out. What is the most missing feature for you at that point?
I like to do this. I have a dog, and for example, when I have a walk with my dog, not always, but sometimes I leave my phone at home.
Oh, good for you.
Because, I mean, I really just want, to just have this. I heard that Gen Z call it clean walking. And I was just like joking that, oh my God, even though I'm a millennial, I still have something in common with Gen Z. And yeah, just because, you have a lot of notification information and everything. So, but I guess the thing that I really miss, this is like listening to music. So maybe there is something that, yeah, sometimes I miss. But again, I do it in purpose. I just want my brain to be here with my dog to focus on something that surround me. So yeah, but this was funny with clean walking. I was just saying, okay, what next? Clean eating or something like this they will come up with.
Clean dating, clean eating, clean
Yeah,
sleeping, clean
exactly.
working.
100%.
I don't know. It's that's a fine con that's a very funny concept. All right. Is there something on your phone? I'm not specifically asking any feature that give you more, probably will give you a better balance with the device. What would make your iPhone 14 Pro a better tool for you, hardware, software, something specifically for you, not necessarily trendy, but would make it a better tool?
Really good question, but I think that AI and machine learning, there is something that will dive deeper into it and mobile apps as well. And I believe that AI will be like a good friend who can predict your needs, personalize content, and I don't know, your doctor, your coach, your tutor, your everything. I mean, I guess, yeah, we are already there. But I guess every year we will be closer to it. So yeah, can't like say something specific, but believe on this field we will be growing.
Yeah, I can totally see like later this year, probably next year, all of a sudden Siri would tell you, "Sorry, I was quiet for all these years, but actually I have a lot of things to tell you. I was just shy. Let's have a talk. I can actually talk to you." Yeah, that would be awesome.
100%.
All right, before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you and get more information about what you do?
Yeah, sure. Super easy. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just type Ina Sumovska, and yeah, open to any kind of connection to share my experience or learn from you guys as well.
Terrific. Ina, thank you so much for coming on the show and spending time with us. Thank you. Bye bye.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was Ina Samovska, Senior User Acquisition Manager at Hailee. To listen to more episodes, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Just listen for Business of Apps. Just search for Business of Apps and you will find us easily. Remember, we release episodes on Mondays, so subscribe. You will be getting episodes of this show on your device as soon as we release it. And please don't forget to leave us a review or comment on iTunes. It is highly appreciated. And our episodes will also be available on businessofapps.com. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Apps podcast. For more, head on over to businessofapps.com.